From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
San Francisco.
Montclair and Oakland.
Tiburon.
Sausalito.
Japantown, San Francisco.
Berkeley, California.
Coming up, we'll take a close look at a San Francisco intersection on the cusp of change, 3rd and Gerald in the Bayview. First stop, church.
They're thinking that's a black church, but there's no race requirement.
Then we'll step inside the nonprofit across the street that's putting high school students on a track to college.
I think the biggest misconception about the neighborhood is, embodied with these kids, that folks don't want better.
And we wind up at a pizza joint that turned an unused lot into a lunch spot.
You know, you don't have a kale salad in the Bayview, but we do.
We're exploring the intersection of past and future on this hour-long edition of Cross Currents. Stay with us. San Francisco is getting a lot of attention these days for the many transformations happening around the city. Rising rents, newcomers to the city, new businesses. And these changes were especially noticeable to KALW's David Boyer. He recently returned to San Francisco after being away for about 15 years. So he went on a search for something that reminded him of the city he left. Here's the story.
When I left San Francisco back in 98, the first tech boom was just taking hold. The area here, right outside AT&T Park at the corner of 3rd and King, it was pretty much deserted, except for a few dance clubs. When I came back a few years later, everything was different. Instead of old warehouses and abandoned lots, this was a whole new neighborhood called South Beach. Today, the transformation that began with the ballpark is accelerating south along 3rd Street, right along the T-train line. First stop, Mission Bay. There are two brand new luxury developments, plans for a high-end hotel, and the Golden State Warriors, they just bought a big plot of land here to build their new arena. Let's keep going south. There's a new UCSF hospital rising at 16th and 3rd. Between here and 24th, more than 1,000 apartments with street-level bars, restaurants, and retail are somewhere between breaking ground and people moving in. And then there's nothing. Just like South Beach back in the day. Industrial warehouses, auto body shops, truck routes, few people, no homes. Finally, we reached the Bayview District, 3rd and Gerald, an intersection with one foot in the past and one in the future. This is what I've been searching for, a place just barely ahead of the tide of development. I want to talk with people working and living in the middle of this transition. We'll start with the church. We're just in time for Sunday service. This is where I meet longtime parishioner Diana Morton.
Morning, everyone.
I am Diana. We are here at St. John Missionary Baptist Church.
Lord, we're going on our 66th year, and each and every Sunday we came here to praise your name, month after month and year after year, Lord. We want to say thank you, Lord.
I've been going here since probably 58. Like all kids, I hated Sunday mornings because I had to get up early. Because we went to Sunday school, 11 o'clock service, 3 o'clock service, 6 o'clock service, and 7 o'clock service. So it was an all-day thing. Back then, the Kentucky Fried Chicken across the street, that wasn't there. That was just a lot. There was a vacant lot, and then there was this little building. That's where we used to have junior church. In my teens, I loved being here. It was exciting. Everybody was really, really dressed up, and somebody would start a song over here or a song of breakout over there, and it was just like, Father, I stretch my hand to thee, Father. That's how the congregation would respond with what this person just led with. And then somebody would shout and fall all over the place, and we'd kind of be waiting to see who was going to shout next. It was just exciting.
Yeah.
Bayview, it's changed a lot. Didn't have so many liquor stores on 3rd back then. And what I remember in the 60s, they wanted to put another liquor store, and our pastor said we need to march on City Hall because it's not a good thing for our people. It's going to bring the neighborhood down. More alcohol, more alcoholics, more people hanging out, more crime. That was the fear. And I do believe that they were right. Now, we don't have night service at all anymore. Because of so much violence in the neighborhood, people are afraid to come out at night. Coming in this year, we had a lot of funerals. Seemed like one every week. We've had some funerals here for kids that's been killed out there. I believe the role of the church is to try to reach those people that you'll never see until there's another funeral. You'll never see them, you know?
Lord, we ask that you have mercy this morning. And then, Heavenly Father, we ask that you touch those that are on the street corners this morning, those behind prison walls, for we all have family members and friends that are still in darkness. We ask that you have mercy this morning.
The congregation has gotten much, much smaller. Honestly, because things are better for black people. Back in our day, when my parents' day, times were hard. You know, certain areas you could not move into because you weren't allowed. So people were thankful for every single thing that they got because they knew it was by the grace of God. Now people think that they can get things better on their own. Things are either so good or they're so bad that they're hopeless and they don't think that there's no hope to be found in church. And then there are more churches. There's a church on every corner. You've got 50 churches now. So every one of them has a few people.
I can have 50 members. But if I'm doing my best, I got a mega church. God ain't gonna help me here.
The neighborhood is changing, and this is not a black area anymore. There are more of everybody living in Bayview now. Back in the day, this was a black church. It's an all-black church pretty much still because they're not coming to this church because they're thinking that's a black church, but there's no race requirement. We're mostly black, but that don't mean you can't come. Christ loves you, and so do we.
You're listening to the Intersection documentary from KLW News. I'm David Boyer. Since 1970, the demographics of Bayview Hunters Point have changed a lot. There are only half as many African Americans now, but there are four times as many Latinos and seven times as many Asian Americans. There's also a small but noticeable increase of white residents. Now, while those numbers don't necessarily bode well for an historically black church like St. John's, they're just fine for other businesses in the area. Across 3rd Street, the KFC Taco Bell is having no problem attracting a diverse crowd. It's by far the most active corner of the intersection. There's a steady stream of cars waiting for the drive-thru, and inside, the line is 15 deep. It's the height of the daily happier hour, when grillers and medium drinks are just a dollar. The cashiers can't seem to serve them up quickly enough.
You wanted how many people, how many girls? chicken is always going to be popular. I mean, that's the number one thing. But now we just got this XXL nacho Bel Grande came out, and a lot of people is getting that as well. My name is Nikisha McDowell. I've been working for KFC about a year now. Never thought I would work at KFC.
So you said it was 324.
I was born and raised in San Francisco. Till I was like 10, I lived over here in Bayview, Hunters Point. I used to stay on Gerald, right up the street. Right now, I'm inside, like, over by the project area. A lot of people come to this KFC. The construction workers, people that work at these little businesses, the people that work at the barbershop, families. That lady, she just starts sitting here. She's just hanging out. See, we get that a lot. Most of the people that hang out, they're either panhandling, trying to get change, or some of them just sitting here until nighttime. But we don't care about people just sitting there. Probably better if they sit there than sit on the street.
I'm about to be like Madea in a minute. What's taking them so long? Yeah, I apologize. You're so backed up back here. I told her I owe her an apology.
Probably half of the staff lives in the neighborhood. So I think that's why they hired them, because for our customers that come in, they are sometimes difficult to deal with. Like some of them don't have enough money. Some of them get discouraged about the price. Some of them get upset because we're not rushing for them. Some of them we know from way back when. It was fun growing up around this neighborhood because most of everybody that grew up around this neighborhood went to the same school. My mom knew their mom. Aunties knew their aunties. Our cousins moved over here. It was fun. It was kind of scary a little bit because of so much drug transactions going on and people gangbanging. There used to be a lot of people hanging out on KFC, and a lot of people died on that next block over. But it's just, right now, I think it's much, much better. They're starting to decorate it more, put a lot of more color in it, a lot of more palm trees. The palm trees wasn't there. The tea tray wasn't here. All Good Pizza, they just built that right there. It used to be just nothing right there. So, yeah, it's got better. I see a lot of tourists over here, too. That's new.
My chicken right now is special.
In 5 years, I think it's going to be more condos and less black people in this area. And I think All Good Pizza is going to get tear down, and they're going to put apartment complexes right there, just like they did on Palou.
You have a good day. Next in line, please.
This is The Intersection, a documentary from KALW News. I'm David Boyer. Most weekdays around 4 o'clock, a group of teens take their KFC to go and head to the other side of Gerald Avenue. They're students at College Track, an after-school program that helps kids in under-resourced communities prepare for and complete college. The nonprofit, which was co-founded by Steve Jobs' widow, Lorene Powell Jobs, has sites in 5 other cities. In 2012, College Track moved its Bayview location from the outskirts of the neighborhood right to 3rd and Gerald into a refurbished brick building that had been boarded up for half a decade.
Everybody please link up. It's circle time.
You guys, circle up. Let's go. All right, so when everyone is quiet, we can get started. My name is Omar Butler, and I'm site director of College Track San Francisco. I grew up not too far away from here in the housing projects up in Hunters Point. I was the first in my family to graduate from college, and so my story resembles a lot of the stories that of the kids that we serve. Sean, you can lead us off.
A lot of you just finished up your first grading period, so please bring those report cards in. That's the only way we can know how to support you guys. So once we know what you need extra support around and what we can do for you, then we can help sit down and make a plan or just get the tutors to make sure they're looking out for you. So please bring those in.
Folks will say, you need that in San Francisco? Isn't that the home of, you know, the financial district and the tech boom? They don't know that in the shadows of those things lies this community, you know, that wants to be involved in all that growth and development, but to this point has been ignored. I think the biggest misconception about the neighborhood is, I mean, embodied with these kids, that folks don't want better. that folks don't want to participate, that folks don't want to live in safe neighborhoods and safe communities, that folks don't want good schools. I think that there isn't an achievement gap, there's an opportunity gap. And so I think one of the things that College Track says is you give these kids the opportunities, they will make the best of them.
My name is Elisa Harrison. I go to Gateway High School. I'm a junior. I heard about College Track when I was in, I think it was eighth grade. Omar came to where I went to middle school at, and he talked about it. I grew up here in Bayview Hunters Point. The neighborhood, I don't really know how to explain it. It's like you get a lot of different vibes from, I feel like from every corner you hit. If you go down that way to 3rd and Palou, you see a lot of drunks. You see a lot of people that's on drugs. You get used to seeing that. So it doesn't bother me. And if you go further down to Quesada over there, you see a lot of young kids hanging out on the corner. And like, you go to school with these kids, you grow up with them, and like, they just grow up to be another person that's down on 3rd, drunk or on drugs. And like, it just, I don't want that. If I was just going to school, college really wouldn't even be something I thought of on a daily basis. But I went on a lot of college tours through College Track. I got to visit Howard University. That's my top choice right now. When I went there, I just felt like I should be here.
All right, so a couple of appreciations before a final announcement. Go back and circle. Gabby.
I wanted to appreciate Carlos for helping me with an application.
Anybody else?
Shout out to everybody in the tutoring room today. Everybody was working really hard. And I also want to just appreciate everyone who had a plan today, because that's the name of the game this week. So anybody who is...
I have people who I grew up with who have sons in the program. I walked past this building as a teenager, as an adolescent. And so it's an awesome feeling. I think that I still don't understand it in totality. You know, 25 years later, I'm in this building helping kids go to college. Most of the people I grew up with can't afford to live in Bayview or San Francisco. You know, we lose kids throughout the year. Kids who have to move to the East Bay, you know, out to the Central Valley, because it is cheaper and it's more affordable. I live in Redwood City. I wish I could afford to move back to Bayview. It's a neighborhood I grew up in. I think it would mean a lot, even more, to the kids. You know, I think that so oftentimes they hear about, you know, do well and get out. You know, and there's more people they can see that are still here that value and see this community for its assets, they would begin to appreciate that as well.
I've always said that if I do decide to leave, that I want to come back and contribute to my community, because having programs like this is helpful, because I know a lot of kids grow up seeing the same stuff like I do, and we would either be on the street or like in jail if we weren't here. So...
Anybody else? That's it. Have a good night, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to The Intersection, a KALW News documentary, and I'm David Boyer. Around the same time that the College Track site opened its doors in 2012, 3rd and Gerald got another new resident, All Good Pizza. This is not your typical pizza joint. It's mostly outdoors and surrounded by a chain-link fence decorated with colorful, nutrition-themed art and Bayview-centric murals. Inside the gates, it's a cross between a beer garden and a food truck park. In the center of the lot is a permanently parked trailer emblazoned with All Good's motto, "We're a little bit Iowa, a little bit Louisiana, and a whole lot of Bayview." Inside the trailer, they make pizzas, paninis, and salads with all organic ingredients.
Good afternoon, All Good Pizza.
My name's Kristen Trahan, and together with my husband, Matt, we own All Good Pizza.
We are on the corner of 3rd and Gerald. When people ask, you know, where do you live or where's your business, and I say Bayview Hunters Point, they ooh, you know. There's such a stigma attached to the neighborhood that it's unsafe or scary, or it's loud. There's sirens going all over the place. There's people yelling and hollering, and yeah, it is rough, you know, but I don't ever worry about anything, and I've been living here for 4 years. It's no mystery that we're a white couple in a predominantly black neighborhood, and it's not a thought in either of our heads until something happens where we realize that there's a lot of history here, and there's a lot of people that their parents and grandparents, you know, grew up here, and the Navy shipyards was active, and we're still newbies.
Babe, did you order produce?
Not yet.
We should probably order a couple of cases of the organic Lacinato dino kale. Get
two cases
of that. Get 4 cases of organic arugula.
When we first got the lot, it had been vacant for about 12 years, 10 to 12 years. And there was graffiti everywhere. There were people living in there. It was boarded up, chained up. I mean, we literally hauled off 16,000 pounds of garbage. I mean, it was everything from needles to garbage bags full of stuffed animals.
Hi, we're right with you guys.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good morning.
We pre-ordered for...
Honestly, the first day was, it was insane. A lot of people were looking forward to it because they'd saw us cleaning this lot for, you know, 6 weeks or so, and everybody's wondering what's going on. And the best part about it was people coming in like, what's kale, you know? Everybody was skeptical, of course. You know, you don't have a kale salad in the Bay View, but we do, and it makes you feel different than KFC. We actually ate there quite a bit as we were starting up because it's the only thing around here. You know, there's nothing here. It's a desert. I mean, we don't have a grocery store. There's no produce. People that live here in the community that really want good produce go elsewhere. The closest Whole Foods is Petrel Hill. I mean, that's 3 or 4 bus rides away if you're not in a car. It's horrible. It's sad is what it is. It's really sad.
My name is Sean Moore. I grew up in Bayview Hunters Point, around the corner. And I do soap art at All Good Pizza.
He actually creates sculptures out of soap.
I like that.
Wow, that's nice clean work there. I like that.
Yeah.
Right. But these, seriously, if you could make a bunch of those as fridge magnets, people would buy those.
How do I know I'm an artist? My hands tell me I'm an artist.
Sean's here working on his craft every day from about 10 to 3 p.m.
So I'm like, you know, the on-site artist.
He doesn't really have a place to store stuff, so we keep it stored away for him in the shipping container and stuff, keep it dry. He's become good friends, and he's just a good guy. He helps out around, you know, the place, and he's happy to have a place to do his art.
Like this past weekend, they was closed for like, what, 4 to 5 days. And I was like, damn, I can't do my art, so.
Do you ever do customized ones?
No, it all depends on the person. If I size them up and I feel they're going to be real picky and technical and everything, I won't even get into that. Basically, I do this for me. I don't do this for nobody else. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to do the Cuban.
Can I get the turkey pesto panini?
And that's for here?
Yeah.
And a name for that order, please.
Jason.
Having condos on the corner of 3rd and Gerald is probably not very far off. It's just, I don't want it to change too much. I don't want there to be a bunch of people, rich people, coming in here, buying up the houses, redoing them, and turning it into Malibu, or make it look like something that's completely different. I would love the neighborhood to stay exactly the way it is, and just progress with all the same people here, with all the same businesses. I just don't want it to lose its character.
While much of San Francisco becomes unaffordable, Bayview is a place where prices are steep, but not totally insane. But it's changing fast. Many in the area were surprised when a 2-unit Victorian next to College Track sold for exactly $1 million. And nearby, places are listing for even more. Many of the folks who live and work around 3rd and Gerald welcome the change. They think the neighborhood has been neglected and underserved for years. Sure, there's a bit of nervousness about getting priced out, but there's also an excitement about Bayview becoming a better place to live. As we've seen in the rest of the city, tomorrow could be different. This neighborhood could be developed beyond recognition. 15 years ago, when I left San Francisco, the corner of 3rd and King was just warehouses and a few dance clubs. Now, it's one of the most expensive spots in the city. 15 years from now, it's hard to say what the intersection of 3rd and Gerald will look like. But one thing is certain, it will be different. In Bayview, I'm David Boyer for Cross Currents.
Okay, you've heard from us. Now we'd love to hear from you. Email us at news@kalw.org, or you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at KALW. Or call us at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. Because of you, we can proudly say we're listener-supported public radio. The Cross Currents team includes Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Sandhya Dirks, Rachel Dornhelm, Hannah Kingsley Ma, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Seth Samuel, Judy Silber, Raja Shah, Todd Whitney, and Stephen Short. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. The line producer was Audrey Dilling. Our managing editor is Jen Sheehan. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.